Blog Talk Radio.
Brevity is beautiful. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening for some of us. It's Keeping It Brief. Welcome to our show today. We got some wonderful, wonderful poetry on the board today, and some wonderful company to join us and comment on the poetry itself. And our theme today is dogs. And I'm really looking forward to that one. And we have a couple people here. I'm going to start with our gal, Pam Ray. Now, Pam, I didn't clarify if you were doing the techie or commenting, so you can feel free to do what you want today. Just let me know.
You can go ahead and chit-chat with your co-host first. That's fine with me.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify if you were joining us or not. No problem. So Weaver, my girl, how are you today?
I'm wonderful, thank you. And how are you?
Oh, I look forward to these shows with you, girl. I look forward to the times with you. I look forward to the reading and the commenting and everything. Like, my Wednesdays are my Wednesdays now, and you're part of that, girl.
Oh, thank you. That's lovely. And you with me. Wednesday is now my favorite day. Although I'm still terrified And I will still open my mouth and put my big foot in it, which I'll try not to do too often. But it is great fun, isn't it? It's lovely to hear all the poets just giving us their stories. Wonderful.
It is, and to be able to read it and enjoy it and comment on it, and you know, for the writers out there, we love it when you send in your poetry to the shows, and we love reading them and commenting on them. You teach me so much about technique and style and everything. It's just amazing what the show gives and gives to those that give. So now I'll return to you, my friend Pam. How are you?
I'm doing great so far. It's a beautiful day, you know, just nice and relaxing and, yeah, good weather. So all is good. All is good. And, yeah, I can join you two today for reading and commenting. I'll be happy to do that.
Oh, that's awesome. We are happy to have you. And what's your weather down there? Like, I know in Canada, this is hard to believe, but in Canada right now, we got like 34 degrees, which is like 94, 95 in Europe, Fahrenheit.
Oh, wow. That's pretty hot. Yeah, no, we've got right around 75. So, you know, not too hot, not too cold, and a nice breeze. So definitely enjoyable.
Yeah, that's tolerable. That I could handle, but I'm in an apartment with three fans going. But I can't complain. I mean, it's summer, right? So that's awesome. The gang's all here, and we're going to kick off this show today with the first poem. And what do you have up there for us, my friend Weaver?
We have A Tarnished Engagement by the writer, Diane, would you like to read that?
Yes, let me just get that open. Some reason, that's not opening for me.
Right, I'm just going to, here we are, send it here. You know, I have trouble with my stupid old PC. It's about as old as I am, but that should be it now. That's it in brevity, and it's in Late Night Poets as well. A Tarnished Engagement. Can you see it or not? No?
Not yet, no. You're going to have to read it, Weaver.
Yep, no problem, my darling. Got it here. Right. A Tarnished Engagement by the writer. Writer C? By the writer C. I picked you flowers and roses. We had our good times playing on the beach. Drinking Chardonnay, your favorite white wine. I had the little suspicion that you had no intention to be all mine. With the secret calls and private emails, I can't believe you're still crying because our relationship failed. On others you tried to place your blame, but here's the little news. You'll never share my last name. End poem.
Awesome. That was a great write. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm having major technical difficulty right now. So if you two could go ahead, if yourself and Pam here could go ahead and comment on that. Here we go. I'm starting to load up again. Just give me a minute.
Sure.
No problem. No problem, my dear. So, Pam, over to you.
All right. Well, you know, this was a beautiful, heartfelt poem on such a sad subject. You know, it's always difficult when a relationship breaks up, but especially a relationship that was going to become a marriage. There's nothing worse than the feeling of betrayal and the breaking of trust. So excellent write and very well done.
Sorry, I was on mute. Carry on, my dear. On you go.
Yes, great comment, Pam. And I'm over my technical difficulty here, so I'll go ahead and comment on this one as well. A Tarnished Engagement. I like the title. And you know, betrayal. Betrayal is definitely a tarnish, and it doesn't just tarnish the engagement. You know, it tarnishes your hopes. It tarnishes your dreams. It tarnishes your future, what you have planned for yourself. And it sounds like the writer here, you know, had been in this relationship with flowers and roses and beaches and Chardonnay, and then comes the secret calls and private emails. It's like, this is really well written on betrayal, a brevity that says it all. And I enjoyed the last line here, a little news, you'll never share my last name. That's just like coming back and saying, so there. Really well written and very enjoyable write. And what did you think of this, my friend Weaver?
Yes, I mean, it is. It's awful, isn't it, when something like this goes wrong, when you've been planning your future and then it's just not, and you can't tell why. I mean, it's unbelievable why these relationships failed. It's quite sad. I love the fact that there was a little kick at the end there, though. I do love those last lines. A little news, you'll never share my last name. But yes, you can always tell. I mean, I have been aware of things like this happening. The little secret calls, the private emails, the phone that's locked, it was never locked before, you know, that kind of thing. It gives the little antenna a little quiver and you think, what's going on here? Usually it was me that was doing it, but that's beside the point. Yes, I thought this was great. I thought it was really heartfelt. And I love the picture, that shattered ring. Oh, my goodness, that says everything, mm-hmm. doesn't it? So that was beautifully done, the writer, see, and thank you for sharing.
Brilliantly said and brilliant piece. Thank you very much. And what do you have for our next, my dear?
We have... I'm not very sure. We have 1-6-6-8-3-7-7-2, it would appear. Let me just open that and make sure that is actually is it opening up? Okay. Pam, would you like to read this?
Absolutely. Yes. This is Silence Cuts by Sherry Ann. And it goes like this. Your noise passes over me untouching. For our heartbeats do not overlap. You are not of my world, but you who knows my mind, I've left an open door. Your silence is deafening. It echoes in the chambers of my chest, breaking me inside out, leaving my nights restless and days tormented. End poem.
Great read, Pam, and great write, Sherry Ann. This is a wonderful write, Silent Cuts, and the theme and the hurt and the pain and, you know, and what happens when you think you can trust people who are your friends, but, you know, there's silence, and silence does cut. Silence is deafening. You know, silence for me, I like noise at times. I do like silence, but usually noise gives me the energy I want. It gives me the upbeat and everything. It's just the way it's described here with the silence is just really, really well done. And Pam, you read that beautifully. What did you take on this?
Yeah, I liked how the theme of this was the idea of how silence speaks volumes, you know, and to me, I like that it's separated in two parts. The first part is that person that you don't relate to, that person who does a heck of a lot of talking, but really has nothing to say. And the person who is silent, and in their silence, you feel their pain, you connect with them. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
That is a good point. You feel, you pick out what's in that silence. I mean, sometimes that silence is their pain, and sometimes that silence is their anger, and sometimes that silence is depression, and we don't know, and we just have to kind of figure it out and stuff. And silence is a book in itself. It tells a story, but we have to figure out what it is. And I like the way the reader has put that here, or the writer has put that here. And Weaver, what did you think on this one?
I do love that phrase that silence is deafening, but it echoes in the chambers of my chest. I thought that was lovely because it does. Silence can hurt as much as angry words or people not understanding you. Silence can be devastating if you can't get an answer to what the problem is. I don't know. I like silence, of course. I could be silent for 8 hours a day. It's not a big deal for me. I don't talk a great deal anywhere else but here. In fact, my whole family complains I don't talk, so that gives you an idea what I'm like. But I do understand that silence can be terrible and people can't live with it. So you have to adapt yourself. You have to give of yourself more than you probably want to. And this person would be happy with just knowing what you were thinking for a millisecond. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to say all of what's happening with you, but just a millisecond, just to say, it's okay, nothing's wrong, it's not you. And that, you know, makes all the difference. But yes, beautifully written, giving you all of that. Well done, Cherianne. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, exactly. And you said it can go both ways, you know, like sometimes you want the silence to deafen the noise, and sometimes you want the noise to deafen the silence. And that's balance, right? That's the balance in our life. So, awesome. So what do we have next, girl?
We have Means by GDB23. And I will read this. I will read this. Means. Some people get their dose of dopamine, from the central tendency to be mean. I get mine, what little I gain, from being heard and being seen. But if we are the sum of all our parts, how can the average man trust his heart? End poem. Wonderful.
Wow. What a powerful little brevity, and just, you know, what I pull out of this is the energy that goes with being mean versus the energy that just goes with being heard and being seen, being you. And if we are the sum of all our parts, how can the average man trust his heart? It's like that's such a powerful message and imagery used to get the point across. And it's true. Some have the tendency to get high off being mean. And others, you know, like you have to wonder what they're getting from it. But then when there's people like the writer here who goes out and gets being seen and heard, it's going to put way more into the universe than someone being mean. This is a great message. I really, really enjoyed this, JDB23, and thank you for sending this in. And Weaver, what did you read this so well. What did you think on this?
I thought, yes, it is very, it's actually deep, this, if you really look at it. Give it that time, because it's a short poem, so you tend to go through it quite quickly like I did. But you look at this and give it some time, and my goodness me, doesn't it give you a message? I get mine, what little I glean, from being heard and being seen. But if we are the sum of all our parts, how can the average man trust his heart? I don't know. Surely if you're truthful with yourself, which is, I have to say, something that a lot of people find difficult to do. I don't understand why, but there are some people who automatically will blame you for something that they have either done or caused to be done. And there are people who will immediately go, well, sorry, my fault. I don't think it's wrong to admit that you're wrong, because you learn from it, don't you? I think. But anyway, this is really, really deep and really well written. Thank you very much for sharing it with us, GDB.
Well said, girl.
Thank you.
And Pam, what was your take on this one?
Well, I do enjoy a good rhyming brevity, and this is definitely one. I like the message of how as you were mentioning, you know, the idea that some people's energy is ran by negativity and some is run by positivity. I do like, too, that this at the end gives the message of, you know, that how difficult it is to trust your own heart. And I think the unspoken line to me is the idea that we need to learn to trust ourselves. And, you know, really a wonderful brevity all the way through and very well done.
Totally agree. And that second last line of we are the sum of all our parts, and that means that we have to trust all our parts. We have to trust who we are and be heard and be seen. Very well said, guys. And well written. Great, great brevity here. And Weaver, my dear, what do you have on the board for us next?
We have To a To a Greyhound by John Roper. There is a SoundCloud for this particular one, John Roper's
yes.
Greyhound.
Yes. Yes. Here we go.
To a Greyhound. I smile to think my wicker-limbed old hound has more coats than me. As saddled like a deb in padded barber with cord trim, she does her hot coals dance on the parquet floor. Then held at the gate, butting the iron rails, body tensed as if waiting for the bell, then off along the straight towards the beach, delighting in the smells of grass and stone. This last grey year of lockdown has taught me some ways in which we seem to be the same, a liking for biscuits and daytime naps, the feeling that our best days are behind.
Awesome, right? Great SoundCloud. Thank you very much, John, for sending in the SoundCloud. If you are able to put a SoundCloud in your right, and we can say that. We love to hear your poetry in your own voice. You deliver the poem the way you meant it to be delivered, and that's so To a Greyhound, lovely piece, and I'm not even going to say anything. I'm just going to go straight to Pam and ask what did you make of this one, Pam?
Well, I really like this one. Beautiful dog in the picture. The write was extremely enjoyable. I really like how it's a tribute to what I assume is his dog. And I really like this all the way through, but especially where he says, then off along the straight towards the beach, delighting in the smells of grass and stone. And that last stanza where they discover that they have so many similarities, a liking for biscuits and daytime naps, that feeling that our best days lie behind. You know, and there's a kind of a melancholy feel to that last line, but it works so well. You know, I have to say that I've always admired people who adopt greyhounds. I don't know if he adopted his greyhound. I don't want to make an assumption. But I'm just saying that I always wished that I could have adopted a greyhound because of the fact that these animals are worked so hard. They're used for racing, and then when they outlive their purpose, they don't have anywhere to go. They don't have anything to do their energy with. They're very energetic dogs. They're working dogs, basically, because we put them to work racing. And I'm not saying my opinion either way on greyhound racing. I'm just saying that once these dogs' purpose is over with in the racing organization's opinions, what then? What happens to them? And so that, to me, when I see somebody who has adopted a greyhound, I just think any dog that gets adopted. I'll stand on my soapbox now and say, you know, if you're thinking of getting a dog, consider adopting from your local kennel, you know, or dog group, animal group, because it's so important. But animals that, you know, all of a sudden are cast aside because they can no longer win or no longer race, especially need to know that they have a family. So, yeah, this one I did really particularly like. It was very well done.
Great, Great insight, great message, Pam. So I very much agree with you. The get, you know, if you're looking to become a fur baby parent, then you find one that will need the placing. And yeah, you know, like the last line, the feeling that our best days lie behind. Well, it's like, you know, if you didn't, and that's your purpose. Maybe that's not your best days. Maybe your best days lie ahead. Now that you can go and sniff the grass and separate the smell of the grass and the stone, and you know, you're and lay down in the sun and have your biscuits. It's your turn. It's your time. You did your service, and now you get to rest. And I love the relationship and the what between the writer and his dog here. There's a beautiful relationship. He knows this dog so well. Even to pick up that dog, and dogs do that. They're like sniff grass and stone and everything. It's like, wow, that's cool. And they get like, he's so excited about it, and he picks that up, and he knows that about his dog. He's someone with a relationship with a puppy that, you know, just benefits him and the puppy, and it was really well written and thoroughly enjoyable. And Weaver, what did you get from this one?
Oh, yeah, such a beautiful dog. I agree with Pam. I really agree that some dogs just need to be helped and given what they've never had, and this particular dog breed is used so much and so often for racing. When my girls wanted a dog, my only instruction was it had to be got from the local dog pound, from the local rescue center. And it was a little black and white mongrel, the sweetest little dog ever. And we loved her. We loved her. We had her for 21 years. Unbelievable. But she was such a strong little thing. So, yes, I can see. You get attached to your pets. You can't help it. It's just, they're just there for you. And dogs are just a delight, I have to say. But I loved that last stanza. Of course I did. But that last line, that really hit home. I wasn't expecting it because everything so far along had been, you know, reminiscences and how lovely everything was. And then the feeling that our best days lie behind. I wasn't expecting that. But still a beautiful poem, and thank you for sharing with us, John. It was lovely.
Thank you, Weaver, and yes, I agree. I appreciate, I respect, and I bow down to good pet owners, because I'm not a pet owner, and I have no dislike for pets. I go to my family's house, and they have a cat that just loves me, and I want to take her, but I can't. But the cat owner, because I grew up in a town where there was like 300-400 people, cats and dogs included. So dogs would come around and they'd be our strays. And if they adopted us, then we were their parents. But never had the relationship that John seems to have with his greyhound here. And I noticed this piece was a front page pick a year ago. And excellent pick, excellent write, John. Well deserving of that front page pick. Thank you for sending it in. And what do we have coming up next?
We have Man's Best Friend by Random Scribbler. And Diane, would you like to read this?
Is it on the board?
It sure is. Man's Best Friend, Random Scribbler. Maybe refresh.
Yeah, I'm just, maybe I'm freezing up here again.
Oh, dear. I hate when that happens. I tell you what, technology is wonderful,
yeah.
But when it goes wrong, most inconvenient.
Yeah, go ahead and comment on that, and I'll be around in a sec.
Okay, I'll just I'll read it then, shall I?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man's best friend. Want unconditional love. That's rare in this world. Want unequivocal, acceptance. Hardly given without any expectance. Want unwavering companion. It's not easy to find one. Not only an ardent follower and staunch supporter, but also a fierce protector. How can one not love the one whose anagram is God? Adopt a dog. D, devotion, obedience, G, gratitude. personified. Oh, end poem. So sorry I stumbled.
No, it's okay, girl. This is such a feel-good piece. I love this piece. I love the warmth that goes through me. How can one not love the one whose anagram is God? Adopt a dog. What a message, what a powerful message. This should be out there, here, there, and everywhere. And well written, Random Scribbler, very well written. And like you say, you know, they just want unconditional love. But that is rare sometimes in this world. It is rare because the world hurts. But people do have in their heart that unconditional love for their fur babies. And I think that's amazing and incredibly appealing. So, yeah, thank you very much, Random Scribbler. And Weaver, you read that very well, my friend. What did you feel on this one?
I thought it was very clever. As I say, I'm sorry I stuttered a bit, but my mouth is incredibly dry, so I'm finding it a little bit difficult to talk coherently. But I thought it was wonderful. Want unconditional love, that's rare in this world. Want unequivocal, see, I can't even say it now, acceptance. Hardly given without any expectance. Aha, yes. Beautifully, well, very clever, incredibly clever, and very, very heartfelt and very moving. How can one not love the one whose anagram is God? I mean, I hadn't even thought of that. That's what an idiot I am. Yes, I think it was beautifully written, very cleverly written. Random Scribbler, it was a wonderful job. Thank you so much for sharing.
Very, very well said, and I agree. And I like the last line, devotion, obedience, gratitude, personified. I like that. That's well put and makes a great point and a great message, and I hope people heed it. And Pam, what did you feel on this one, girl?
Oh, this was wonderful. I really like how she uses dogs to spell devotion, obedience, gratitude, personified. It's a wonderful tribute to her dogs, to her fur babies, as she says to my lovelies, Lucy, Broody, Rocky, and BPL, who went missing 2 years back, hoping he is safe and sound wherever he is. That really just touches my heart. And this is a wonderful write, not only the love that they give us, but the love that we should be giving them in return. Not only an ardent follower and staunch supporter, but also a fierce protector. Those lines there very much make me think about this German Shepherd Wolfie that we had when I was a kid. German Shepherds back in, I think it was like the 70s and 80s, got a really bad reputation, kind of like how nowadays it's the pit bull that has the bad reputation. And it's really all about the owners, because our German Shepherd, he was so loyal, such a staunch supporter. Basically, that whole line could describe him, but also one of the most loving dogs you'd ever meet. I just think this is wonderful. It's a great topic choice that Harkel put up here with dogs. So. Excellent write and very well done.
Very well said. I totally agree. Great write. Great write there, I'm sorry, I'm off on the wrong one. What do we have up next there, girl?
We have My Girls by Tiger Shea. And would you be able to read this, Diane?
I am totally able to read that. Thank you for asking me. Tiger Shea, My Girls, too. I have four girls. They keep me in world. The eldest is named after a mother. To try to compare, there is no other. Next one is named after a dad. She is the one that's quite mad. After her comes the boss. Without her, I'd be at a loss. The baby is quite fast. She's always first, never last. Black, brown, and white, they each bring delight. Dogs they may be, babies they are to me. Life is never a bore when you have now that is so cool. My girls too. I have four girls that keep me in whirls. And I mean, even though I knew it was about the topic dog, I didn't pick up until later that it was her girls were her dogs. And so well written, so beautifully described. The rhyming is amazing. And I enjoy the suspense that was in it. And the care for her dogs is just really, really beautiful piece. And Weaver, what did you think of that?
First of all, that was a lovely read. Thank you very much. Yes, I have four girls. They keep me in whirls. Yes, I love that somebody cares about their dog so much that they name them so carefully after people that they care about. And they know their personality to that extent. The baby is quite fast. She's always first, never last. Well, perfect, perfect. Dogs they may be, babies they are to me. Life is never a bore when you have four. I can imagine. Can you imagine taking them for a walk? If they decide to go in a different direction, you're in deep trouble. Can you imagine it? No, I can't. One was enough. Yes, I think this is beautifully written, Tiger Shay. Thank you so much. And I love the fact that you have your little babies around you and you can cuddle them and you can give them a squeeze when you feel in the mood for it. And they keep you on your toes. I can see that much. I love the boss. After her comes the boss. Without her, I'd be at a loss. Lovely. So beautifully written with an awful lot of love. And I think it's just beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, very well said. You know, I imagine when you say there, you know, how can you, she's taking them for a walk, all four of them taking them for a walk. I imagine that they are taking her for a walk. Four at one time, I think. And Pam, what did you feel on this one?
Oh, this one was delightful. You know, I just really liked how you could see her heart in this one. It was a wonderful tribute to her four fur babies. I really enjoyed and appreciated the rhyming couplets, which I thought were spot on with the end rhyme. You know, I really like how she says, life is never a bore when you have four. You know, it's the kind of write that you read it and it makes you smile. So beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Very well written. And thank you so much, Tiger Shea, for sending that in. We love getting your guys' rights and commenting on them on the show. And with that, we will have our next stop.
And our next one is Curly the Dog by Whatever 666. And Pam, would you like to read this one?
I would be happy to. All right. Curly the Dog by Whatever 666. And it goes like this. Curly gray and white thick fur, a blur when running by the side of kids, the South Farm having plenty of space, finding cats here and there, sitting staring at ice cream bars, smiling as best he can, when really he's saying, drop it already and let me lick your fingers. Grandpa and Grandma saying no, Curly stares at them with questioning looks, turns his stares to the kids with ice cream. The kids take one last bite. Ice cream disappears before Curly's eyes. End poem.
Oh, that was well read, Pam, and well written, Whatever 666. This was just poor Curly. Poor Curly, just watching as the ice cream melts and gets devoured away in front of him. It's just, I mean, dogs with, you know, and then this look on the puppy's face, like you'll never be able to capture that look in their eyes of, you ate it? And it's like, you know, you just, they become this character that you just adore and you just adopt them. Like, you know, puppies get under my skin in a good way. And what did you feel on this one, Weaver?
Well, I love the dog named Curly the Dog. carrying a dog. I could just see his poor face. I could just imagine him. I mean, it'd be like me sitting watching the kids having their ice cream and thinking, should I have one? No, I shouldn't have one. But this poor dog's not having the choice. He just sits and looks, thinking, no, somebody's got to give me a lick of something soon. And nope, not forthcoming, not happening. Oh, and he looks, turns his stares, the kids with ice cream. The kids take one last bite. Ice cream disappears before Curly's eyes. Poor doggy. Ah. Yeah, well, I wrote this based on my grandparents' old dog, Curly. Ah, it's lovely. Ah, I like it. So, yes, I thought it was beautifully written. Got right inside the mind of that poor dog, not getting anything that was going to be anywhere near ice cream. Beautifully written. Thank you so much. Whatever.
Lovely indeed. Lovely indeed. I totally agree with you, Weaver. And Pam, what was your take on this one?
I enjoyed this. I like how she pays tribute to her grandparents' dog. And I like how she brings forth the personality of the dog, especially with the expressions, smiling as best as he can when really he's saying, drop it already and let me lick your fingers. Grandpa and Grandma saying no. Curly stares at them with questioning looks. I mean, immediately in those lines, you can, anybody who's been near a dog, when they give that questioning look, when they tilt their head to the side, back and forth, like they're trying to figure out what you're saying. And, you know, it just, she really brought that, those scenes to life. It was a delightful write and very well done.
Yeah. Yeah, you're so right. She did bring to life this scene and put this scene in my head of this dog, and immediately such an emotionally appealing, right? Like it appealed to my compassionate side, and I just want that dog to have its ice cream. It's just such a feel good and wonderful written piece here. And did I ask you, Weaver? Did I?
Yes, my dear.
Okay, then that would be the next one, which you have on the board.
Yes, Rainbow Bridge, Going Home by Darkened Auras. And I will read this one. Going Home. Oh, look at that picture. Ah, they still talk about you. I know. Oh, my goodness, this is going to be sad. Hey, buddy, it's been a while. What's it like over that bridge? Is it all rainbows? Oh, I'm sorry, I can't read it. Is it all rainbows and unicorns and leftovers from the fridge? I'm sorry, Diane, could you take over, darling, please?
Yeah, I sure can.
Thank you.
Rainbow Bridge. Hey, buddy, it's been a while. What's it like over that bridge? Is it all rainbows and unicorns and leftovers from the fridge? Yeah, it's great up there, you know, until I start to think of you. I really miss family. Hey, we miss you too. You had to take that deep sleep over 10 years ago. But to hear them still talk about you, nobody would know. Yeah, I still hear them call my name and talk about that rabid foam. Hey, bud, why do you look so sad? Because, old friend, I'm here to take you home. End poem. Oh, my goodness, I almost said amen instead of end poem. That was so beautiful. It was like, you know, oh, that was such a tribute to a puppy, you know, gone to the other side, to their losing their fur baby and knowing that it's over that bridge. Beautiful, beautiful rites. And Pam, I'll start with you, my friend. What did you think of this one?
Yeah, I really enjoy this one. I like how she did the back and forth between the angel dog talking and the old dog talking. I know she says, don't worry, in her end, this is not a true story. But the thing is it's not a true story except for it is, because it's a true story to so many people out there. And, you know, at least she gives you a heads up with the title, Rainbow Bridge Going Home. That it's going to be a sad rite. And I thought that was a great read, Diane and Weaver. I just, it's, you know, that's the beautiful thing about poetry is when it moves your heart, and I've definitely had that happen before, to the point of tears. You know, it's just a beautiful thing. I really like, as I said, the back and forth conversation in this, and you know, the idea of a beloved pet just being guided home by another beloved pet. So very well done.
Yeah, very well indeed. And I don't know if you have either read the poem Rainbow Bridge. It is beautiful. It's about, you know, animals going home, and it's an excellent piece. But what she captured here, like you said, Pam, the italics being the angel puppy talking, and then the other being the old dog. Weaver, my friend, when a poet is able to capture your heart that way, and you have to pull back because of how the emotion that a piece gives you, that's the best compliment you can give to a piece, because poetry is meant to move you. And for you to be moved on that piece, absolutely. I myself can totally relate. Poetry should move you. So well done. And Weaver, what did you get on this one?
Well, I kind of think you know what I got on this one. I found it deeply moving. I'm sorry, I can't even talk about it. Just so close to home. Right, we'll go on to the next one if you don't mind, okay?
Right, not at all, is, my girl.
Thank you. Sorry, I just I can't get it together with this. It's just so hard. Right. The next one is Night Patrol by Hats. And Diane, would you like to read this one, dear?
Absolutely. I would love to read a piece by Hatch. It's called Night Patrol. Me against the bed, black curls fell into his emerald green eye. Every cell of my body screamed yes. He leaned closer, and such a stench came from his mouth. I opened my eyes and realized Goral, our dog, is waking me. A muzzle by my nose, both front paws digging into me. He poked me with the snout. In 2017, I was greeted by dog poop next to my bed in the morning. Muttering, I pulled on my sweatpants and hoodie. We ran down 36 steps and went out into the dark. I gave him a leash so that he doesn't run after a hedgehog or maybe a rat. Although we deworm him and he regularly uses Simparica Trio, a conflict with a hedge could be a disaster. It's 2:20 a.m. and quiet outside. The crickets are silent. Only the wind bends the linden branches in leaves whisper. Goral sticks his snout to the ground. After a few meters, he raises his hind paw and rests it on the street lamp. In the intimacy of light, we look into each other's eyes. While listening, he's pissing, realizing that in this jiffy, I read the loyalty in his eye. Then lightning crosses the sky. The wind is more aggressive, Goral more nervous, an approaching storm in the air. We run back home. End poem. Boy, what a journey. What a journey, Hat. Beautiful journey, wonderful journey with Goral, taking us on a trip with Goral. And you know, like you captured it. You captured Goral and described him to us in a place where I know Goral. I see Goral. I can feel Goral. I can see his energy. It's just amazing, right? You really pulled the reader in and captured the essence of your puppy. And excellent, excellent job. I'm really impressed with this one. And Pam, my dear, what did you think?
Yeah, this was great. I have to agree with you. It's wonderful how she takes us along on this day with her and Goral, you know, going for a walk, as you said, feeling his energy. I liked how relatable this is, the straightforward language. I think anyone who's had a dog has woken up or come across some sort of mess. But, you know, the messes you clean up are worth it, because in exchange you get that loyalty, you get that friendship, that protection. I like how in the end it was about how he led her back home, you know, before the storm got really horrible. I also really liked, I gave him a leash so he doesn't run after a hedgehog or maybe a rat. Although we deworm him and he regularly uses Simperica Trio, a conflict with a hedgehog could be a disaster. Just wonderful attention to detail and very well done.
Very well said. Totally agreeable. She just transmits the love and the story and the journey of this dog, and takes us through this journey from opening to ending. And I just enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the love. I enjoyed the emotion that it brought out in me. And Hat, I may have referred to you as Team. I will do that from time to time, and I don't know what overcomes me because I just don't know. But I get people confused. But, my dear, this is an awesome write, and thank you so much for sending this in. And, Weaver, what was your take, my girl?
I love the beginning of this. This quite led you on the wrong route. I love that. Pushed me against the bed. Black girls fell into his emerald green eyes. Every cell of his body. Such a stench came from his mouth. That gave me a bit of a fright. I thought, what's happening? And then I realized it was her dog. How cute is that? Yes, dogs are just the bestest. You often get greeted by dog poop if you're not very careful, aren't you? I mean, really. But the fact that off she went, took him out, 36 steps and out into the dark as brave. I wouldn't want to be him getting himself entangled with a hedgehog. That would be awful. So I can see why he'd have to be on 2:20 a.m. in the morning. You'd want your dog on a leash right beside you. But yes, everything was as it should be, and he was comfortable again. But then he realized that the weather was going to get bad, and off they went. You could see he was nervous. Off they went back home before the storm hit. So I think it's just a lovely part of being an owner is that closeness that you have with them, and even you'll stand beside them as they're doing the toilet. I mean, you wouldn't do that anywhere for anybody but your dog. You just stand there and wait. Yes, I thought it showed a great deal of love, and great love, and the fact that this was a rescue animal as well is also just lovely. A sweet dog. I remember I lived in Malta as a child, and I always wanted a dog. That's why I got a dog for my children. But I always wanted one, and my mother would not let me have one, and my dad would not let me have one. I had everything but they were right, because these were just street dogs. They were wild, probably would have bitten me before. Look at me. But I was so incensed that I couldn't get a dog. So my dad got me a budgie. There is no comparison. You can't say budgie and dog in the same set. I tried to teach it tricks. He didn't tell me he clipped its wings. So I took it out on the balcony with me to try and teach it to roll a bead along. It leapt through the balcony railings and plummeted to the ground because it couldn't fly. He didn't tell me he'd done that.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I felt terrible. That was awful. So, yes. I'm not very fond of budgies at this point, but I love dogs. So, yes, just another tale for the annals. Don't ever cut budgies' wings before you... Don't tell your children you're doing it. So I thought this was lovely. I thought it was, I'm trying to fill out time because in actual fact we've got 1 hour and 5 minutes remaining, and I think we're at the second to last one, because I put one in.
Have carryovers from the last show?
I just did the carryover.
Harco mentioned, when he posted the link, he said, we're live, catch up from previous shows and then dogs.
Yeah, that's what I've done.
A previous show.
Yeah,
oh, we've already done them?
Yes, we've done the carryovers, and we don't have
anything.
Wow,
I thought there were more than that.
No, I looked and I thought, hang on, we're at the second to last one, and we've still got over an hour to go. I don't really know what to do, actually.
Well, we can throw some rights on, you know, ask people if they want to put rights on, you know, you know, so, boy, yeah, no, yeah. Just go ahead and continue, and we'll see if we can get people to put rights on the board.
Yeah, and just tell them, to be perfectly honest, it doesn't really matter if it's not to do with dogs at this point, because not anybody will have a specific dog tail to put on. Anything they want, I think, would be all right at this case, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yes, as long as 100 words, under, like 100 words or less. It has to be a brevity.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, then, let's just... that's why I was telling you my tale about the budgie, because I thought, oh, no, I've just realized we're at the bottom. So we've got... next one on is Waggy Tails. Just give me a moment. Not that it really matters. Yes, Waggy Tails by Laughing Soul. And Pam, would you like to read this?
I'm sorry, I can't.
Okay, no problem, Dan. No problem. Waggy Tails by Laughing Soul. As long as it's not got anything sad in it, I'll manage. Here we are. I shall read this one. No lies, no telltales. All they greet you with is unconditional love and wagging tails. They sense what when you are sad, a cuddle, a silly trick will make you laugh like mad. They speak language of love, but only few understand, for rest it goes from above. Animals leave paw prints on your heart. Yes, it's the worst to deal with when they depart. End poem.
Great read. Poem.
Thank you.
Great read. I'm off on the, I didn't grab the right one here. Let me refresh. The Waggy Tail. Great read, Weaver. I like this one. I love the simplicity of it. The reality of it. Animals leave paw prints on your heart. They sure do. And it's the worst to deal with when they depart. You know, my niece and her husband, they are rescue foster parents. And it amazes me to see the devotion and dedication and love that they have for these animals when they rescue them. And it's quite regularly they will post that, well, I guess we're the owners of a new puppy. And it's just, you know, to see that people have that much genuine love and need for taking care of the animals is so awesome. And that was a great write, Laughing Soul. Thank you so much. And before I pass it over from my friends here to comment on, I just want to say, if you're listening and you would like to post a write, please post, feel free to post the write on the board. We will contact one of us and let's get some rights on the board so we can keep our show going today. So,
yes, Brenda, you should, Diane, let's make clear that we want them to put their brevities on the topic board, 8/31/2022, keeping it brief dog, but it can be any subject as long as it's a brevity, you know, because
awesome.
The board is kind of vague. So,
awesome. Well,
but I did, just so you know, I posted that message. So hopefully we'll get something. And I do have to say from listening that was a wonderful, heartfelt write that from Laughing Soul. And I did enjoy her play on words with the title, The Waggy Tails, how she told, spell tales like T-A-L-E-S, like a story, but it, because it sounds the same as tail, like a dog's tail, it's a creative play on words. And the idea of how many stories, I mean, we get over the years as we interact with dogs. I mean, the pets I've had, mostly cats, dogs, I had a ferret once, and for every single one of them, I could spend so much time just telling stories about their individual personalities. And like I remember my little ferret. She was so cute and small when I first got her. And I was showing her to my mom and my mom's boyfriend at the time, who was actually quite a wanker. She did not like him. She thought his beard was like an animal or something, because she jumped at him, bit on his beard, and just hung there. This little less than a pound critter just wiggling herself back and forth trying to attack his beard.
My goodness.
Unbelievable.
I should laugh about it. That was funny.
That is funny. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I wish I could have kept my Wendy. I had the ferret who was named Wendy, and a white cat, and they played together. And his name, of course, was Casper, because, you know, Casper the ghost and Wendy, his friend Wendy the witch.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Make perfect sense.
Well, no doubt. That makes perfect sense to me, too. So, I like how you caught that, Pam, the play on words. That was Waggy Tales, and then tells the tales of the puppy. They sense when you are sad. A cuddle of silly tricks will make you laugh like mad. It is just so beautiful. I'm getting so much good deal today for people that love their animals. I think there's no one you can hold in higher regard than someone who gives animals a chance in this world. It's just an amazing thing. And Weaver, did I ask you to comment on this one?
You know, I don't know. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Yes, I thought that the play on the spelling of the word tails was very clever. I liked it a lot. And you always have that wagging tail when you come home, which is lovely. There's somebody who really appreciates you, as long as you've got something nice in your pocket to eat. They will always appreciate you. But yes, they can sense when you're sad. Dogs are very clever that way. They know, don't they? They just kind of know. And unconditional love is an amazing thing. The only thing I think that would better that would be your unconditional love for your child. You know, it's the same kind of thing, isn't it? That's yours, and you love that person or that dog or whatever that is. So it's just a lovely relationship. But they are pack animals. I found that my little dog decided that she was the leader of the pack when we first got her home. And it's very hard to, you know, like tap a dog on the nose and say, no, you know, you're not to do that. It's not allowed. But you have to give them their place. You have to tell them. They're not going to rule the roost. And that was quite hard for me, because she was a cute little dog. But yes, I had to teach her that she wasn't the head of the household. So that was quite good fun for about a week until she realized she wasn't getting her own way. But yes, they are. They're very loyal and very lovely. And you think about it, cats and dogs, I mean, how did they become pets? Because you mean dogs were wild and cats were feral. You wonder who was the first person to say, I'm going to have this animal as a dog and bring it into my house. I'd love to know where that came from. Yeah, very. That's the way my mind goes.
I like those kind of questions. And, you know, like the who was the first person to do this? Who was the first person to do that? Who was the first person to look at a coconut and decide maybe they could crack it open and find something delicious inside that furry hard ball? You know?
Yes, exactly. That's all these questions. Who was the first
exactly. But as far as dogs go and cats, I think it just worked out well as a mutual relationship. You know, we provided them with food and warmth and security by the fire, and they provided us with a service. And so I don't think obviously we'll ever know who was the first person. And it probably wasn't just one person. It was probably the idea of, you know, like the dog approaching the group of people. You know, they have fire, they have, you know, warmth, they have food, and then there's kind of this mutual need for each other developed. And of course, as we know from some dogs, you know, it just became less about the protection and more about the companionship. Because I don't know about you, but like our little dog that's like a pug Pomeranian mix and our other little dog that's like this little mutt mix, they have such horrible underbites. Like they think they're mighty protectors, but nah, not really, not really. But but they are wonderful companions, you know. But yeah, I think that's an interesting topic that you bring up there.
Right. Well, we do have a few more. Right. Thank you, people. You are so good. All the poets are there that have put some poems on for us. We are most appreciative. Thank you so much. So I will da-da-da-da-da, get the next one. I'm taking my time. Da-da-da. I can do what I want. Da-da-da. No, I can't do that. No, I just found out I can't do that. Okay, do this. Got it. So the next one we have is, not that. Next one we have is.
Well, you should put your own up, Weaver.
No, no, it's horrible. It's a ridiculous piece of rubbish. No, thank you.
Oh, I beg to differ.
I was only putting it there because I knew we were getting low, and I thought I'll just stick that one in. But we've got this nice one here that you'd much rather listen to, and this is called Lady and Mystique by Darkened Auras. Diane, would you like to read this, my dear?
Who did you say?
Diane.
Oh, okay.
Please.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Dark Norris, for throwing a couple up there for us. You're a gem. We really appreciate you. Anyone else, feel free to put it up there. We'd love to read it and comment on it. Lady and Mystique Acrostic by Dark Norris. Little are these baby dogs, no yellow to be seen. Adorable nitpicky dogs, mixed breed yappers. Part beagle, for sure, and part mountain feast. Two little angels. Ironically, one looks quite unique, like an equal full breed black lab. Awesome, right? Great, right? And Lady and Mystique, Lady, and it's acrostic of Lady and Mystique. Excellent, right, Dark Norris? And very, the colors, the yellow to be seen. Are these baby dogs? No, yellow to be seen. The color and the language really brings out the relationship with this pup, these puppies. And I have to say here, I'm partial to black labs. I'm a Newfoundlander, and in Newfoundland, we raise and breed Newfoundland dogs and black labs, and they are beautiful dogs and unique, like Dark Andorra said here, so unique that, like, they are like babies. And I know, you know, a lot of dogs are, but I don't know what it is about these two, the both breeds. They are a different, a unique kind of breed, and I really enjoyed this piece, and especially that ending. So thank you so much for posting that for us. And what did you think of this, Weaver?
Oh, yes, that was them. I love acrostics. I can't say it, but I love it. They're so they restrict you to the point where you have to really think, because you're trying to get a coherent story from a specific amount of letters. I think it's so clever. Little are these baby dogs, no yellow to be seen. Adorable nitpicky dogs. And they're so cute. Look at them. Young things have got to look cute because they've got to have somebody to love them. And that's your first attempt to connect with anyone, be it as your child or your dog, is if they're really cute, you can't resist them. And that's why little babies have those tiny little faces with the big eyes and the tiny little chins. So cute. Mixed breed yappers, part beagle for sure, and part mountain feist. Two little angels, ironic, one looks quite unique, like an equal full-bred black lab, right. Very cute. So that's obviously not the dogs you're talking about then. Hmm. Yes, I thought that was very, very clever. I really admire anyone who can do that and make it so smooth. Unless you'd actually highlighted the letters at the beginning, you know, you wouldn't generally know because it's so well written and so smooth. Nothing's been shoehorned in to make it fit, as it were. So yes, I think that was very clever, and thank you very much for allowing us to share it with you.
Totally. Very, very good comment there. Very well said. And Lady and Mystique, Pam, what was your feel on this one?
Oh, I really enjoyed this, and I'm glad that she shared this with us. A wonderful tribute to the individuality of the dogs, especially, you know, mixed breed dogs. They just make some of the most wonderful pets. I thought this was a great, acrostic that that flowed nicely. There was no forced lines. I like how with the last stanza, it's a dedication to two little angels. I really liked where she says, ironically, one looks quite unique, like an equal full-breed black lab. And that's what that oftentimes is what happens with mixed dogs. Like, you had one of our dogs was a half black lab, half blue heeler, and he had the look, the spotted look, and the pointed ears of a heeler. So it was really difficult actually to see the lab in him. I love this tribute to her dogs and their personalities and their individual looks and wonderful lines and very well done.
Very well said. Totally agree with that. I just, you know, this topic today has really been one of my favorite topics on the shows. Is like I'm feeling my inside, the part that has never really been attached to a dog. I'm feeling that loneliness for, you know, that companionship that they're all talking about that you don't get from just anyone or anything. You get it from these beautiful fur babies, eh? So did you want to go ahead and post the next one, Weaver? I'm going to ask you to co-sign a reader, and I will be right back if you guys could comment on it after each other.
Yes, no problem, my dear. No problem at all.
I'm desperately trying to
find something under 100 words here, but here we go. The next one. Ah! The next one we have up is In a Massacre of Reason by Pam Ray. Isn't that lucky?
Don't you have any that are more on topic? Because
no.
That was a just... Oh, you don't. Okay. No problem. I'm also going to post another one if needed. Though I would like to make sure that yours also gets read because, you know, despite what you say, I think it's a wonderful on-topic poem. But yes, let me get back to Brevity Writers and give that a read. Sorry, as you can tell, I'm kind of bouncing around on all poetry.
I understand it. I do understand. I'm desperately trying to get this one into a link somewhere. But yes, on you go, dear. No problem.
All right. But yes, obviously at this point, we're slightly off topic. And... In a massacre of reason, reality becomes morphine thumps lingering on the clefts in the brow, expectations lowered to a degree below the eagle's barrel ride over frothy falls, caught in the act of slacking sense, a guilty verdict pleaded, erase the dam inserted into the how-to manual of confetti parades and steaming piles of manure, and you'll find the truth of a fool's love and poem.
Beautiful. That is beautiful. Wow, 66 words only. Wow, very good. In a Massacre of Reason. Ah, expectations lowered to a degree below the eagle's barrel ride over frothy falls. Wow. Yes, sorry, I'm reading this, you know what I mean? A fool's love. Yes, you are. You're caught. You're just caught and left to float or not float, basically. You have something thrown at you that you have to try and deal with, and it's up to you if you're going to win or not, go over the frothy falls in your barrel, or or just go with it and accept it. There's so much in this. I mean, it's I love into how to man of confetti parades and steaming piles of manure. Yeah, that's what you're navigating. That's what you're navigating, definitely. And you'll find the truth of a fool's love. I think this is really lovely. You painted such a really great picture of somebody who was basically duped, swept along by their own passion, and then found out that the passion wasn't really reciprocated, I don't think. So if I'm wrong, do tell me, because that would make a lovely debate as well. But that's what I get from this. It's a very sad and bumpy ride. Beautifully written, Pam. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Pam. That was a great write. I'm just looking to figure out how to tag this one now, because I get so much out of this one. You can't reason with your heart. It has its own laws and thumps about things. The end. A hard place to be in life, in a place of trying to reason between your heart and your mind. And what you get out of it is not, you know, one is like reality and the other one is like fantasy. Because reality is your emotion, and your mind can take you down the fantasy trail. And, you know, when you talk about reality becomes morphine dump, lingering on the cleft in the brow. I love that metaphor, that image. And expectations lowered to a degree below the eagle's barrel ride over frosty falls. Great alliteration. And the eagle's barrel ride, our eagle, the biggest reason in life that man makes mistakes is because of his ego. We have egos that are unlike other animals. We have egos that we put ourselves in a place of, we're beyond reason sometimes. We're outside the grip of reason. And I like the way you described that challenge and struggle by of confetti parades and steaming piles of manure. And you'll find the truth of a fool's love. Because, yeah, your heart will always want to go places your mind is going to reason you out of. And sometimes that's a good thing. And sometimes it's like, you know, let your heart take and let it learn its lesson and grow and take that chance. And it's like, I love when a writing makes me think and brings back to me my own struggles between my heart and mind. Really well written, Pam. I think that this one really caught me, and I love the message in it and the truth behind it. Great, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you. And you're right about that. It was spot on about like how the struggle with ego. You know, I have to say, and of course it's up to you girls because it's your show, but you know, if you just want to finish what we do have on the board and move on to ending the show early, that is fine with me. And then what can happen is by ending this show early, people can learn that they need to get their rights on the boards in order for a show to last a whole 2 hours. And I'm not saying that to be mean, and it's totally up to you. And who knows, maybe by me saying this, people actually jump up and get their brevities on the topic board for today's show. But whatever. I'm along for the ride, so whatever you ladies want to do.
Well, I think you're quite right. Yeah, I agree with you, Pam, definitely. It's probably my fault that I didn't really notice how few there were a little earlier, but to be honest, I was presuming that people had got their right, and it wasn't until I got to the end I realized how wrong I had been. I mean, it happens.
Don't worry about it. I mean, we all, you know, there's more than just you to keep an eye on the topic board and how many rights there are, for sure. So, but, you know, it happens to the best of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does, and we'll all collaborate for next week, and we'll make sure that, you know, we'll go with the flow here. Like the way I feel is that if things are flowing, then they're going, and we'll take us as far as we can. And if we can't take us into the full 2 hours, then we can't, and that's okay. Like Pam said, maybe it'll encourage people to add rights. We'd really like to keep the show going and share your poetry. So still in this moment, if you feel like adding a right, go right ahead. And so what do we have next?
Well, we have my little attempt at a brevity. So I'll just read this one, and apologies. Right, here we go. Tammy, when my girls wanted a dog, there was no hesitation at all. My one stipulation was easy. It had to be a rescued one. We spotted a skinny little mongrel. She was black and white, short-haired, sitting, looking scruffy and lonely, just looking hopefully. We took her home. She fitted right in. She tried to keep the family together when she took us out for our daily walk. I miss her so much, our cute wee Tammy. End poem.
Hmm. Now, I enjoyed that. Tammy. That is beautiful. Weaver Tammy. That's a beautiful, beautiful tribute. Like, just so well written. And Pam, what did you think of this one?
Oh, I enjoyed this one. I enjoyed the heart put in this one. You know, I enjoyed that, you know, that as you said earlier, it's so important to adopt a dog. That I like that was your one stipulation, that it had to be a rescue dog. And you bring forth her personality in that second stanza, you know, and in the third, and how much she you know, started to fit in her family, your family, and that just that in line pulls at my heartstrings. I miss her so much, our cute wee Tammy. And such a sweet name for a dog. We actually have a little dog named Tila, T-I-L-A, just like I think we have a quote on here by that name. She was just this tiny little thing and so sweet, but oh man, she was horribly prone to car sickness. You couldn't take her anywhere without a mess being made, poor thing. Yeah, that was just a wonderful write. Loved it. Very well done.
Totally.
Thank you so
well
much.
Done. Thank you.
Ooh. Looks like
very
I might
well
have
done.
Another write to put on the board.
I
yes,
have got,
I do.
Right, give me
well,
a moment. I've got myself... Sorry, carry on, Dan. I've got myself lost. You just carry on.
Okay. I just want to comment on Tammy. I really, really loved it. I love how Tammy wrapped your heart up and she fit into your home. And I especially like the line you said, because it's so true. We heard earlier when she took us for our daily walk, that when they're out for their walk, they guide you. You're with them. They're not with you. So really well done, Weaver. I thoroughly enjoyed this one. I feel your love for the Tammy, cute wee Tammy. I love it.
Thank you. She was a beautiful old dog. Right, we have one more from each of you at the moment. So I'm just going to put one up.
So Weaver, if you refresh, I did put one up that's on topic from Sam Sampson, and
did you?
He will need a reader. Yes.
Oh, excellent. Let me just refresh. I keep forgetting to refresh. Right, okay. Pam, would you like to read the scene as how you have it there for us? Stupid.
I would be happy to do that.
Thank you.
And let me get back to where I'm supposed to be. All right. Love to have my suspense music. Oops. Where is... maybe I need to refresh. I don't see the link, Weaver.
I don't either.
I'm sorry, I didn't...
Yeah, I think you still need to
put...
I put it on the topic board. I put it on the topic board. Sorry.
No problem, Adan. No problem. I just misunderstood. It's not... I was looking at something else. I can't see it.
All right. Well, I'll just go ahead and post it.
Thank you.
Yep. So there we go. And there we go. All right.
Joining in.
Joining in by Sam Sampson. He carries tiny harness in his small mouth now that supper's done. Sees mom putting on shoes, drops the harness near her foot. Me, 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 notice me, he says. Mom works the harness over his head. The evening ritual has begun. Long ago, walking dreams, she remembers. Sam's oh-so-loud bark. And Opus, as he chased the girls down the sledding hill. She wishes she could grab a leash and take them walking one more time. She can feel their presence near Harley's, joining in on the nightly walk about. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Great write, Sam. I'm particularly impressed with the formatting. I like it when people format like that and get a style in their poetry. That's just so enjoyable. And Pam, that was well read, so well read. What did you think of that one?
Oh, I thought this was a great on-topic write. Wonderful how he caught so much in so few words. I don't know the exact count, but it definitely looks to be under 100. I particularly like how this is about looking back, those memories of those fond family pets, you know, and how, you know, like they just bring so much joy to a family. I like how he looks back at the tradition, how the dogs knew when it was time to go outside, when it was time to go for a walk, when it was time to play. And then the looking back at the end, wishing that just to have that experience one more time, because, you know, pets pass away too fast, children grow up too fast, and such is life. Beautiful and emotive and very well done.
Very well said. I like the title, Joining In. He carries tiny harness in his small mouth now that supper's done. Sees mom putting on shoes. They're so attentive to everything going on around them, eh? They study everything, and if something moves, a fly flies in front of their face, they just stop and turn, and something got my attention. They're just, I just love their brain, their way of speaking to us. But well written. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, just make sure I wasn't muted. Yes, I thought it was just wonderful. I mean, as you say, formatting, it just makes you want to read down, and it keeps you interested. But I love the way he dropped the harness down at her foot. Look at me now. Look, I want to go out now, please. This is necessary. Yeah, I think that was beautifully done. Excuse me. I'm losing my voice. I do apologize. It does that sometimes. And I've now lost what I was looking at. Yeah, anyway, yes, beautiful, well written, and beautifully adapted. I loved it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Weaver. And great write, Sam. Thank you so much for sending that in to us. And very, very on prompt. Great write to the prompt. Thank you again. And what do we have for us next?
Well, I'm afraid my system has just decided to play up on me. I cannot get back to where I was. It does this occasionally. It freezes and it's frozen. So could someone please put the next one up? There should be one. Toilet paper.
Yeah, I was going to say, Diane, you could go ahead and grab that.
Yeah, I'll grab mine. I'll grab mine and I'll read it.
Thank you, my dear, because I'm stuck.
It's got as much to do with dogs as cats does. It has absolutely nothing to do with dogs. But it fills in a minute. It's called Warm Sardines. As a kid, I loved them on toast, packed in sweet mustard the most. We fished them on the East Coast, placed them in garlic to roast. Fishy, tastes slippery and oiled. My apron was constantly soiled. And maybe if they were broiled. Salty, the tongue still recoiled. Briny, they pack quite a punch. Snap go the bones as we crunch. Slide down my tongue at brunch. Wrap them in fig leaves at lunch. I grilled them in lemon and tea. Plucked them right out of the sea. For some, they just tasted like pea. But they're a delicate treat for me. End poem.
Oh, that was very good.
Go ahead and comment on that one, Weaver.
I'm sorry, darling. I can't get into my screen. It was lovely,
okay.
And I enjoyed it. And I got the taste of sardines. Thank you. Now I'm hungry. But unfortunately, I'm being chucked out of my pages. Yes, please. You stupid piece of rubbish. Yes. So could you go on, and I'll get back to you as quickly as I can.
I absolutely can. No worries, my friend. Pam, what do you think of warm sardines?
Well, I enjoy this, and I can definitely relate this to myself and my dogs. My dogs love sardines from the can, but not the mustard kind, but the kind with oil. And I'm so with you on this. I love the ones in either the mustard sauce or for me, it's preferably the oil. And to just kind of like, dig it out of the can and crush them on the toast, make such a quick and yummy, easy, like, lunch or breakfast even. I love how you describe the taste. This is wonderful rhyme and flow. I like how you describe the taste. I've had pets that just enjoy snacking on those sardines just as much as me. And I'm blanking out on what they're called, but in this area, we have a small fish that you eat it the same way. And I forget what the name is of it, but you catch large amounts of them, and they're very small like sardines, but you catch them fresh, and then you batter them and you fry them, and you eat them bones and all, because it's just so small that it's got that nice crunch to it. So really just a wonderful right on appreciating a food. And I really like briny, they pack quite a punch. Snap go to the bones as we crunch. Slide down my tongue at brunch. Wrap them in fig leaves at lunch. I never thought of the fig leaves. That sounds like a really nice balance of flavors. Dates. I think it was dates wrapped, something wrapped in fig leaves. They're at a Greek restaurant that was really good, like many years ago. But excellent right here, Diane, and very well done.
Thanks, Pam. I enjoyed sardines as a kid. And actually, when I wrote this, which was, about a year ago? Yeah, when I wrote this, I actually went out and picked up a can of sardines. I think they were packed in tomato sauce. And I ate them. And I realized I don't like them. I didn't like them as I thought I did when I was a kid. So it was thank you very much. And Weaver, did you get yourself back online?
No, darling, I'm still struggling. It's most annoying. I'm sorry about this. I don't know.
Oh, no worries.
Ugh.
Diane, why don't you just go ahead and grab Darkened Aura's poem?
Yeah,
I certainly will.
I was going to say, Pam, that other little fish you were thinking about, was that whitebait? That's what we call
it. It was not. It was not. You know what it'll happen is it'll come to me at like 3 a.m, like after midnight. So, and then I'll post in Late Night Poets, I figured it out, Weaver.
Yay.
And Diane.
Excellent.
Well, don't tell me 2 a.m.
Hopefully that's why you'll be asleep.
Okay, next up we have My Dog Ate Toilet Paper by Darken Aura. And Pam, did you want to give that a read?
I'd be happy to. My Dog Ate Toilet Paper by Darken Aura. Yesterday my dog ate toilet paper. It looked to me like such a caper. My mom then turned to me and began to chime. Now she can poop and wipe at the same time. But just so you know, so all know, she didn't have to go. End poem. What a great humor.
Very, very good humor. Well done, Dark Norris. Really well done. Thank you for sending that in. My dog ate toilet paper. Yesterday, my dog ate toilet paper. It looked to me like such a caper. I love the rhyming. I love the flow and the story. And now she can poop and wipe at the same time. But just so you all know, she didn't have to go. That was an awesome write. Thank you so much. And great read, Pam. And Pam, what did you think of that?
I definitely enjoyed this one. It gave me a laugh. I did like the rhyme scheme. I did like, you know, and it's so, you definitely, we have all have dealt with dogs that decided they wanted to tear something apart. Our dog Baby loved my oldest son, Adam, and was so loyal to him, but did not like when Adam would go to school or would go away and could have peed anywhere in the house, would choose to pee right on something of Adam's. Anytime that he got left, you know, which, you know, is horrible. You know, you don't want pets doing stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, it just, we've all dealt with those. And what I really like about this, I like the humor. I like the interaction between the mom and her. And the ending was a punchline ending. You know, I like that. And, you know, but just so you all know, she didn't have to go. The great thing about that is there's a duality to it, which adds to the humor. You know, they didn't have to get rid of the pet, but at the same time, didn't really do her any good to eat the toilet paper because she didn't have to go. So, you know, excellent, excellent fun write and very well done.
Excellent fun write. And Pam, I love how you wrap it up. I love how you sum it up. You know, it's, how you pull the details out of a brevity like that and get that relationship is just awesome. I enjoyed this write and the humor in it, the fun in it, and excellent write. And did I ask you, Weaver?
No, I can remember it, but I can't see it at the moment because I'm still stuck. But yes, I thought it was very clever. I love the idea that you're thinking, are they going to get rid of the dog? But no, what she's saying is she didn't have to go. So she wasn't going to demonstrate how handy it was eating the toilet paper. Oh my, that's just so funny. I just think that has to be true because that is just so cute. So yes, I thought that was lovely. Thank you very much. And I'm still trying to get in, by the way. I'm still stuck.
But Diane, if you can put up my last poem and give that a read.
Absolutely. Just give me one second. We have it here. It's a limerick, right?
Yep.
I need to get back to the board here. My bad. Sorry.
That does happen when you're busy talking about something you've just read and you forget what you're going to do next. I've done it so often. I think, oh, no, I should have posted that. I'm just completely stuck. My stupid PC is
not. Here we go. I got it. It is close enough to be called a limerick. Go ahead, my friend Pam.
Oh, I thought since I read the last one, you would read that one for me.
Oh, I would do that. Absolutely. Anything for a friend. Okay. Close enough to be called a limerick. There once was a naked mole rat, bread on some jam, a side order of Spam. The tastiest part was the fat. And poem. Oh, I like it. I love that. And yes, in my day too, Spam was a delicacy like sardines. I mean, canned food when I was a kid. I mean, in the 60s, these new Spams and canned goods and everything. And so true. The tastiest part is the fat. And that is without denial. We in Newfoundland we have a meat and it's salt beef. It's called salt beef and it's done in pickled brine water and really packed with salt and it has fat all around the meat and people fight for the fat. It is
well,
the delicacy.
It is. It is very tasty, that's for sure. But I do want to clarify, you know, want to make a statement that while that picture attached to the poem was a cat that I had, Carlos, wasn't he beautiful? And he loved sitting on top of the coaster. I would like to clarify that there was in no way any naked mole rats running around my house toasting cats and eating them with jam and Spam. please don't call PETA.
Oh my goodness, can you imagine it? Oh dear, they'll be stories.
Pam, my friend, I'm so glad you clarified that, because I was just imagining right? your cat sitting on the toaster being toasted by a naked mole rat. And I thought, you know what? It's not my business what goes on in Pam's home. really well written, enjoyable piece. And what do you think, Weaver?
I was just thinking, what is a naked mole rat? I've never heard of it. Is it? A new species.
It's an actual animal. It's a type of a mole, and it's called a naked mole rat because throughout its whole entire life, it never grows any further. Like, you have to Google these things. They are one of the most weirdest looking creatures, and I highly recommend that if you can ever fit naked mole rat into a poem, you do.
Oh.
Because, well, why the heck not?
Well, very good. You did it quite fine. Quite fine,
yes.
Pam. You did a wonderful job there. I have a question, though, Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever turned on the toaster when your cat butt in on the heating pad?
I have not. I usually would shove him out of the way. And, of course, he would give me that cat look of disgust, like, how dare you shove me off my throne? I do think he tended to sit on there like not long after toast was made, because I think he liked the warmth of it. But you know how they say with cats, if it fits, I sit. So yes, the toaster was his throne, and I never turned it on when he was on it.
Oh, the temptation.
Cats will make their place anywhere they think they should make it, and you can do nothing about it. When I go to my kid's house and my family's house, they have a cat there that she was a rescue cat, and she had she would lick the tap. She was licking the tap all the time, and we think because there was no water tray, so she would try and get the drips off the tap. So she would get up there and do that, and my son would get so mad. Get down from there. You can't. What are you guys doing letting her up there? And as soon as he left the room, I turned on the tap.
Of course.
I like that.
I just turned on the tap. Here you go, baby girl. Okay. Great limerick there, my friend.
Thank you. And wonderful show to all of you, to both of you, and to Harco. And of course, you know, everybody who contributed. Wonderful show.
Yes.
Absolutely. And, I think at this point, you know, it's quarter two. I put another one up there, but we can shut her down for today and say goodbye. And thank you to all the wonderful writers sending in your rights. You know, you're what makes this show. We don't make this show. You guys make the show. It's your show. It's your writing. We couldn't do it without you. You know, load up for us for next week. And you know, to my friends here today, co-host and Weaver, thank you so much. I really enjoy my time with you. And in always we have a laugh. We had so many laughs today. And Pam, you're always a bright spot on the show. You're a bright spot on the shows, girl. I just love listening to the shows, and when you're able to come on board with us on Keeping It Brief, it just makes an awesome show for us. Thank you again for doing that.
Yes, thank you very much, Pam. It really helps, really does. And Dan, you're a pleasure to be with. You know, I enjoy this so much. I'm sorry my end of it went wrong, but I have that kind of computer. It tends to be a bit of an old dinosaur sometimes. But yes, I've loved it. And I'm sorry for everybody when I've fumbled when I was speaking. I must apologize. I'm just a very tired lady. So, yes, thank you both so much. It's been a great show.
Awesome. So we'll see you next week, gang. Send
yes, my darling.
Help.
See you all next week.
Bye-bye.
Good night, people. Bye-bye.